everybody, and welcome to another true story of Tinseltown. And today I'm really excited about the guest. She is Karen from the Classic Movie Blog. It's her blog, Shadows and Satin. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am so well. I'm glad to be here. I'm so excited about this conversation.
I'm so glad you're here because I have loved your blog. It's in my bookmarks.
And, thank you.
What I love about your blog is it's not, you don't just focus on one type of genre. You do film noir and pre-code. Hence.
Yes, those are my two favorites. I just love them both so much. I couldn't pick between the two of them when I was deciding.
I was going to ask you, if you couldn't do one, which one would you choose not to do and do the other?
If I had to choose one, it probably would have to be film noir because, I've written two books about noir and I have a noir newsletter and, I've been with noir so much longer. So it would have to probably be that, but I just love pre-code so much. I just hate to even think about, what a horrible decision that would be.
I know. It's like, no, you're tearing your hair out. I can't. I love Danny, too, of pre-code.com. He is great. He does really good write-ups. And he mentioned you. He mentioned you a lot, too, because you do the pre-codes.
And he is my inspiration.
He's fabulous. He had his blogiversary pretty recently because I think he's been doing it 7 years as well.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Yeah, and I love his reviews, and he said he's going to update some and do more. But I love him. And so the name Shadows and Satin goes for film noir is the shadows, and satin is the pre-codes, correct?
That's right, yes. When I was trying to think of a name, I definitely, of course, wanted something that was going to reflect both mm-hmm. of the two eras that I was writing about. And, of course, shadows always come to my mind when I think about film noir.
Yes.
And then I think about the scantily clad ladies in pre-code.
Yes.
And so it was like, should I make it shadows and silk? Silk and shadows, satin and shadows. Shadows and satin.
Beautiful.
That kind of flows. I think I like that.
It really does.
That's why I went with that.
Love it. And it's so fitting. And you write so many great stuff. And Karen was trying to figure out how long she's done the blog. And you believe it's 7 years about.
I believe this is my seventh year. This is my first year that I haven't posted a blogversary post. And that's what reminds me. But I'm pretty sure this is my seventh year, which just sounds so crazy, but
it doesn't, because people have been doing it a long, long time. And I love the community. I wanted to become one of the bloggers there. And then I mm-hmm. thought, I love doing the interview stuff more. And it's easier for me to do this than write things out. So.
Well, it is a great community. It's just like a huge family. It's just so awesome getting to know people who all share this love of the same things that you've been into your whole life. And then to come across all these people that feel the same way you do is really pretty awesome.
Yeah, because a lot of people look at me, and this is New York City. A lot of people love Turner Classic Movies and love classic movies. It just happens to be none of my friends do. Nobody I'm around does. And eventually they'll do a mercy watch with me, or something like that. I said, don't do me any favors. Okay, you guys. So you guys, you're kindred spirits, and it's wonderful.
Right.
And I really have to say, I enjoy the whole community thing because I think it's great.
Yeah.
And Karen used to host a lot of blogathons, and this is something I really suggest you guys, when you go to her website, you should also check out in Google blogathons, classic movies, because these are so much fun and they pick just so many great things to talk about. It's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't hosted a whole lot because I found that they're really a lot of work. You really have to put a lot into it.
Yes.
And so every year, Ruth from Silver Screenings and Christina of Speakeasy and I do the Villain Blogathon. We've been doing that for several years. This may be the fourth or fifth year for the Villain Blogathon, and that's coming up in September. And Danny and I did a pre-code blogathon several years ago.
I read that.
And I've done a couple of other ones. I think I did one with Christina on maybe 1947 movies.
Uh-huh.
That one was great. But I just love the blogathons, too, because they just really give you a chance to immerse yourself in this one area, this one topic, whatever this theme is. And it's just awesome reading all these great writers, you know.
They are
writing about
fabulous.
The same topic. It's really great.
And most...
It's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, and most are really, you know, witty and funny, along with being just plain old terrific. But,
right. Yeah,
so I have to say, I envy that community because that's fabulous. Karen does a lot of stuff, but she did one of her most recent blogs. Karen wrote about a list of famous movies she doesn't get. Correct?
Yes. Yes. You know, it's funny because I could tell from several of the comments that I got that some people thought I meant that I didn't understand them. Like, for instance, maybe like Kiss Me Deadly, like I didn't understand the plot, or 2001 A Space Odyssey, like I didn't understand what was going on, which in some cases may have been true, but that's not what I meant. I meant that these are movies that seem to be pretty universally loved.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really understand why they are, because I don't get it, you know? Some of them I really felt a little nervous about putting out there, like Vertigo, you know, like, oh my God, she doesn't get Vertigo, what's wrong with her? But I tried to love it like everybody else, but I just don't get it. I don't get it, Grace.
I know. Let's go down the list, and Vertigo is number two, and I'll tell you, I get that. Number one is 2001 Space Odyssey from 1968. Tell us why you hate it.
honestly, and that's another thing. It's not even that most of these I hate, even though that one I probably would, you know, get close to hating, because I just really don't know what's going on most of the time. I don't care. It may be visually awesome, and I don't even know what it is that people love about it, but I wasn't seeing it. I wasn't feeling the love.
Well,
and it just, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't for me.
It's not. It's like such a, I hated it. I'm not going to put I'm putting it straight. I hated it. And when I was in college, they would have screenings of different movies, and then they had the screening of 2001, Space Odyssey, and it was all guys, and they are all smoking weed beforehand, and they're like, oh, wow.
No wonder they liked
it.
Yeah,
right. It was that. And then I watched it, and I was like, I don't think I could watch the whole thing. I hated it so much. Sorry, people who love that, but I really, yuck. And now she did say what she didn't like, and this was one you thought you'd get a little bit of backlash from, right? Vertigo, 1958. And I think
it's so highly acclaimed, and, you know, Jimmy Stewart, I love him, I love Kim Novak, but I just really don't care about these people, and I just wasn't into the story. I don't know, this is one that I really feel bad about, because I love Alfred Hitchcock.
But, I do, too.
I think I've given up. I had to just say, hey, you know, it's not going to happen.
I got to quit you, yes. Yeah, you know what? Because it was so obscure that it came out, and I watched it, and I hated it again. I did not like it. I didn't like it. I mean, but then I said, they did some restoration or whatever. And isn't it like one of the top list of one of the greatest movies of all time?
Yes, it really is just so universally acclaimed. And I just, I don't know what I'm missing.
Yeah, well, I watched it too. Yeah, twice. Yeah. And I didn't get it. Jimmy Stewart was a real pig in this, you know, really, mm-hmm. when you think about it. And yes, she was horrible. And then they had the lady who played Midge, his college sweetheart or something. And that was like a nothing. And just the whole thing. And Kim Novak, mysterious. And then her becoming, what was her real name? Judy.
Yeah, was that her real name? I don't even know. See?
Yeah, and they wanted Vera Miles for this part, but she got pregnant. And I just, I watched it twice. And in my mind, I'm going, maybe I kind of like it, but I don't know. And if I had a movie to watch, let's say, you got to pick a movie and you get a choice of these movies, I wouldn't watch Vertigo again. Definitely
right. That's
not.
One thing that, you know, I have movies that I love and that I can watch over and over mm-hmm. again. Or when I'm flipping channels and I come across it, I instantly stop. Vertigo just isn't one of those.
No.
In fact, none of these are, you know, but Vertigo in particular. I just don't want to sit and watch it.
I'm sorry. It's like sort of an ugly movie-ish. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel good. It's just... And there can be dark movies, but just the characters and the skeeviness.
Yeah.
One thing I have to ask you, when he brought, mm-hmm. when he found out Judy was who she was, when he went up the staircase with her, was he planning to push her off?
I don't think he really planned it. I think he had some reason for taking her up there, like, teach her a lesson, or we're going to hash this thing out, or, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of this. I don't know, but I really don't think he meant to.
Yeah.
But heck, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, but it wasn't him. He didn't push her. She got scared because that all of a sudden she saw that black figure, which was a very frightening nun. Jump.
Yeah.
I don't blame her. So you go down there. And and then who knows what happens to Scotty. It just ends there, and you really kind of don't
That's
care.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three, and I so agree with this, The Swimmer.
Yeah. I tried really, really hard with this one because I thought surely I'm going to be able to see what other people see. But I was like, come on, y'all. Really? What is happening?
It's true. It's like,
what?
It's just so weird.
What?
He's going to swimming pool to swimming pool and pondering parts of his life.
It was just too much. And I appreciate a shirtless Burt Lancaster as much as the next person.
He's a great bod, yeah.
I just wasn't feeling it at all.
I thought it was boring. I guess it was supposed to be, you know, like, oh, wow.
All deep and everything, you know. It's like, no, not for me.
Not for me either. I watched it years and years ago, and then I saw it, I believe, last year. And I'm like, ugh. And I watched the whole thing, even though I was like, ugh. But that's...
You don't want to give up, but,
right.
You know.
It's like... Where are you swimming to, Bert? Take me. Get there fast. Tell me something. I don't know. It's weird. Oh, big scoops on that. Did you know Joan Rivers was in that movie?
Yes, absolutely. That was like the high point for me, seeing Joan Rivers.
I think she ended up banging Burt Lancaster, having sex with him.
Really?
Yes.
Now that part, that got by me.
Yeah, she talked about it. In her book, I believe, her second book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Joan.
Oh, Joan, that's what I said.
Do you.
Get down with you some bad self, Joan. Oh, she was funny in that. So, number four, Dr. Zhivago. And you say it's a substitute for a sleeping aid.
Yeah, I really, again... I had heard about Dr. Zhivago, it seems like, all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I bought it on VHS and was so excited to finally see this great epic. And I was just, again, like, what, what's the big whoop here? I don't get it.
I didn't know. This long epic, and you know, the Laura theme, big deal. That's not a movie, the Laura theme. That's just a
I mean,
song.
That was the best part about it, you know.
Yeah, but and it was long, and it was you know, it was tedious. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I agree.
Much.
I did not like that either. Spellbound, totally agree.
And again, you know, Ingrid Bergman, Gregory Peck, mm-hmm. Alfred Hitchcock, you know, that's a combination for you. But I just didn't like it as much as I thought I would. And I don't know. It's a mystery.
It's one of my least favorites. And I hate the whole, you know, the guilt complex, the this and this. And, you have this and you're having these dreams. And Salvador Dali and this whole thing.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, there were parts that were funny and cute, but there were parts mm-hmm. that I just, it would not be a movie I'd like to see. I don't, if I never see it again, I would never.
Exactly.
I would not sing the blues about that.
Okay. Yeah, it's not one of those.
And next, you made me laugh with the ending of this one, The Champ.
You know, I really feel bad, but you know, the part near the end where the champ dies and poor little Jackie Cooper, is that his last name?
Yeah, Jackie Cooper.
It's just going, you know, just losing his stuff because, you know, the champ died and he's all over the room and, you know, munching on every bit of the scenery. And I was on the floor. It was hilarious to me. I'm really sorry, I'm so bad.
I cried and cried at the end of that. I didn't like a lot of it, but I you know, I'm not a really big fan of, what's his name, Wallace Beery?
Wallace Beery, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the kid did a good job. You know, he was a kid. And it's not easy to do that kind of thing. But I had to laugh when I went into hysterics when he was crying and lost his beloved champ. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah. Just for that scene alone, you know, you got to love it. But I don't think I had quite the reaction that they were going for.
Yeah. Well, I did. I cried. Okay, this one again, Black Narcissus.
I've been trying to love this movie for decades, it seems, you know. And I just can't, you know. And it's beautiful, you know, I'm sure, to look at, but, and I don't even know, I guess the story is good, too. I don't know what people love about it, but it's just not for me.
Yeah.
And I give up on this one. There actually are some of these that I'm going to try to revisit and give it a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Black Narcissus is not going to be one of them. Because I've tried like four times. And I'm just sitting there like, what is the deal here?
All these nuns up there, they're in the Himalayas. They're way, way up, right?
Yep.
I love the insane nun who starts wearing makeup and tries to seduce everyone around her. She's funny. But I agree with you. I know so many people talk, oh my God, this is one of my favorite movies. It's brilliant. And I'm like,
Yeah.
And it's one that I, you know, even it's on my DVR. I should delete it because I'm never going to watch it. delete. Okay. Now the next one is Chinatown.
Yeah. I think I kind of like the parts better than the movie as a whole, and the performances and the cinematography and the setting, the era, the dialogue. But as a whole, I'm not really sure why it's everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not that
crazy about it, but I do want to give it another chance. I want to check it out again now that I'm a little older, maybe a little wiser, and see if I can appreciate it a little more. Because it's not like that doesn't happen. You know, it's happened with several movies.
For me, too. And it's like you don't get it because, like, it's something you watch at 20 when you're 40, you've had life experience, and then maybe you go like, aha. So
totally,
this could be it.
Totally.
Yes, that's.
And you know, some movies just have to grow on you.
Yes,
know?
But some grow on you like a fungus, and you have to delete them. Chinatown, I saw once years and years ago, mm-hmm. and I am going to try that one as well because I know so many people love it. Eddie Muller loves it. He was great. I love Eddie Muller. And Kiss Me Deadly. Is that with Ralph Meeker?
Yes. And this one, I have no qualms about. This is like my least favorite noir. I just do not like this movie. And I do not know why people love this movie so much. It's not for me. And,
was Cloris Leachman?
I'm not ashamed of that.
You shouldn't be ashamed.
Yeah, she was in the beginning.
Yeah. Never
she was
be
in the
ashamed.
Beginning.
Yeah.
And she did not end up in a good way.
Yes, that's what I thought.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about this movie. But I really don't. I know I don't like any of the people in it, but it's surely not just that, because you don't have to like the characters in order to love the movie. So I'm not sure what it is, but I know that Kiss Me Deadly won't be on my second chances list because I'm not giving it any more chances.
How many times do you think you watched it?
I'm sure at least three or four. I've watched Kiss Me Deadly numerous times because it's so famous. It's Kiss Me Deadly. You know, you're supposed to love it. It's supposed to be the Holy Grail of noir. And I'm not the one.
Yeah, it's not for me. I only watched
Kiss Me Deadly.
Once. Yeah, I saw it once, and I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Be gone. Okay, Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah, I promise I'm going to really try one more time with this one. And I don't know if I just don't like Cary Grant's character, or I'm not sure if it's the story. I don't know what it is, but it took me a long time to watch it at all. And I really, really want to love this one. And so I'm going to give it another try. But for now, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Do you like it?
I do, and I don't. You know, it's not, I like it more than I dislike it, because I think it's, a really funny story. The plot is very funny. And the characters are great. I loved Raymond Massey. And then, not my favorite. I do have it also on my DVR, my list on there, and I have not watched it probably, and that's been on there for 6 months, so I will most likely delete.
And it's not like I always have to see Cary Grant in these, suave, sophisticated roles or
Notorious.
Something, because I loved him in Bringing Up Baby. I thought he was hilarious.
And Miss Swallow, his engagement lady, Miss Swallow. I loved it. He was great.
One,
he could do great comedy. He could do.
Yes, he could do everything. He was just the best. So I'm going to give Arsenic Old Lace another try.
Yay!
One more. Second chance.
Okay. So
or fourth or whatever.
You are good. You are so good. you're a trooper. Okay.
Hey, so do you gotta give it a try.
Do you want to talk about, because these movies were on this week, and you did one of the best reviews I've ever seen of this movie. Basically, you kind of talked about the whole movie. It wasn't just like a review. It was like through and through. She had to say yes. This is a pre-code, and it was 1933, and I put it on my Facebook classic movie page to try to get people to watch it so they could shake their head and have like a, need a brace because it's like so unbelievable. When did you...
I try really hard when I write about movies not to tell the whole story, But with this one, I just felt like I had to because it was just so crazy. It was just one thing after another.
And the ending?
It was happening.
Oh.
It was just ridiculous. And so, you know, I usually just love, and I actually don't hate this movie. I actually love this movie because it's just so, so bizarre and so over the top and so unbelievable what Loretta Young's character is putting up with. And I just want to reach through the screen and just say, girl, you don't have to put up with this. You know?
Shake this woman. Her little...
You know, it was just unbelievable. I've never seen a movie like this before.
This, you guys, is something I highly recommend. And when you go to Karen's blog, you'll read it and you'll laugh if you've seen the movie. And even though she tells you pretty much what happens,
every single thing,
you're going to want to, you have to. This is one, I like it too because it's so creepy.
It really is beyond belief.
Yes,
you know?
I made women who came to my house when I first saw this. It was about 12 or 14 years ago. And I made any woman who came into my house sit down and watch this movie because I was like, ah, what do you think?
You won't believe this. Really.
Yes, but the ending, I was really, it grossed me out, the ending. Our lovely Precote staple, Lyle Talbot, was in this. And he was supposed to be, I guess, the good guy. Regis Toomey, he was the bad boy, but he was engaged to Loretta. And he was just, of course, misogynists. They don't want those hard-boiled gold diggers models to go out with the customers. And it's not just date the customers. It's like really
great. Right. It's like entertaining the buyers, wink, wink, you know.
Exactly.
But yet he allowed his girlfriend to do that, even though he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. But
I mean, it was just...
It's disgusting.
It was just awful.
He was out with that Birdie girl. Birdie was supposed to do it. Birdie was one of the stenographers who was like the hot number of the customers. And he wanted to go out to Birdie, and he asked her to do it, lying and kind of saying, oh, if you don't, I'll lose my job. And she did it. And she did it with Lyle Talbot, and he was an animal. He was an animal then, too, in his apartment.
Yeah, and the thing about it, when he finished, you know, pawing all over her and telling her, oh, you just don't, you know, you just haven't been pawed the right way, she ends up taking the blame for his actions.
Not being She's not being a good
sport.
Right,
exactly. It was just one thing after another that was just a slap in the face to all women everywhere, you know. And that's why I said in the post, you know, who wrote this? You know, do they hate women or do they hate everybody? What is this?
Well,
but I still love it.
It was not a pretty look at women, but it was certainly a pretty pathetic look at men. If this is
it
what
was.
You have to choose, and at the
right,
end,
there, I don't think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think there was a single positive male character in this movie.
Well, as Loretta said, you treat us like the dirt beneath your feet, you know, and things like
that.
Right. They did. But what Lyle Talbot, he has sent her out to do something and said he'd give her $1,000. And she kind of blackmailed the guy. She didn't have sex with him or anything, but she had the wife and the daughter come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got the rep that, you know, she was just a harlot hussy. So she goes with Lyle, and he said, oh, this is a friend's house. Let's stop in and have a drink. And he has the keys. So he starts, like, berating her, tramp, don't give me your untouched stuff, whatever. She's crying. They go upstairs. It happens to be a bedroom. And you see him looming over her, like taking off his coat, starting to take off his tie, do the whole nine yards. This guy was going to rape her. And she just kind of slid and cried. And I don't know. I don't understand you. And you don't understand me. And of course comes Tommy out of nowhere in front of the house. How did he know? And he said, I know you didn't do anything wrong. I know you didn't. Then the $1,000 check comes out. You slut. And then in the bushes is Lyle Talbot, who had just tried to rape her. And
right.
You can't say that to her. Apologize. What? And then
it was just you couldn't keep up with them. You know, it was just one thing after another. It was like a ping pong ball.
But at the end of it, which was the worst part to me, after everything this guy did to her and all these men did to her, he, you know, she said, I guess I have to choose a lesser of two evils, like Tommy right. and he were the only choices she had in life. And she,
right.
she goes with Lyle, and he said, we'll go tomorrow morning. Let's drive into town
and get married.
Mm-hmm. But then what happens, Karen? Tell him.
Then Tommy starts to go back into the house. He says they're going to go and get married. And then Loretta Young whispers something in his ear. And Danny picks her up and carries her back inside the house, you know, with this smirk on his face, like, oh, okay, yeah, you know. And that's the end.
Yes, what? And it just was
Wait.
So, why all of a sudden is she whispering? And we know what she whispered in his ears. It wasn't,
right.
let's go have a nice cup of tea. It wasn't that.
Right, exactly. Want some cocoa? No,
no.
We don't. Mm-mm.
My head.
Like, why?
I was,
yeah, it was unbelievable.
I was a bobblehead doll. I have it taped from yesterday, and I'm going to watch it probably before I go to sleep tonight. And
yeah, I think I'm going to watch it again myself tonight. Please talk me into it.
It's just amazing. And, yeah, they're all just real piggy dudes. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
There wasn't one nice
yeah,
guy in
awful.
The bunch. Not one.
Not one.
Faithless was incredible. That's the
yes.
first pre-code movie I saw. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. You know, she was going to go out and do what she had to do to get her man better. You know, and it was Tallulah Bankhead, Robert Montgomery, and the worst brother actor I ever saw in my life. What, didn't you think he was horrible? You harlot. You're going to end up on the street. She's a good for nothing. I don't think he has another acting credit. Thank I hope not, because it was awful. But it was a really good movie, and I love how you
it's
described
great.
her change.
It's so classic, classically pre-code with all the stuff that's going on. It's like they threw everything in there, but the kitchen sink, and it's
well,
very
kind of had the kitchen
you know,
sink
clear
in their suitcase, where the nice landlady said, "Open the door window." Yeah,
It was great though.
It was great, and the one scene where she needed, you know, she had no money, and this landlady with like platypus feet looks at her shoes mm-hmm. and says, I think they cost Carol $60 or something. And so mm-hmm. She gave her another week's rent and a buck so that she could get something to eat. And that's where mm-hmm. she reunites. But this is a really good movie, and I would highly recommend it, as did Karen. And if you go and go to her blog and search for it, she has a great recap and review. It's really wonderful.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I love it. I told you, I love your blog. And like, I know Danny, you know, because I love pre-code stuff. And now mm-hmm. I want to ask you, we're going to switch to the other side. We're going to go to shadows. And I want you to tell me your top five. And what made you get into film noirs?
You know,
first of all,
I think that the first film noir I saw was Double Indemnity, and that was as a child. I think I was maybe 11 or 12 years old, and I was just riveted, like, what is on my TV right now? You know, I just loved it, and I've loved it ever since. And in fact, Double Indemnity is my favorite noir. There's no question about that.
It's
I could
wonderful.
Watch it every day. You know, I could just eat it up on a saucer. You know, it just has everything.
Everything was perfect.
But
Barbara was amazing. I hated her blonde wig, But Barbara was amazing.
You know, people said, I thought the wig even was perfect. I thought everything about it. You know, there's nothing about this movie that I do not adore.
Edward G. Robinson, incredible.
Perfection.
Fred McMurray. He was incredible. It would have been nice if he took off his wedding ring, but he didn't. They were great. It was such a great, and just the sleaziness of the plot, and he's this sucker getting taken in by Barbara. I love that. Yeah. I love that one. I think it's great. I also,
it's awesome.
With Barbara, she did a couple of really good noirs. What's that? I'm not so sure. What was the one? What's his face comes back to town? Van Heflin. I think it was
the Strange Little Month Iris.
Yeah, I think it was maybe one of the first films that Kirk Douglas did. And
yeah, that was his debut.
Was it that? I wasn't sure if it was that or the one with the Robert Mitchum and Jane Greer.
No. His debut was The Strange Love of Martha Iris.
He did a really good job. He did a great job.
He was outstanding.
He really did.
He did such a great job in that role. I love that one, too.
I love that one, and that's in the public domain. So if anybody wants to watch that, you can go to YouTube and get it, and it's a great film. So I know we have one of your favorite film noirs. Give us numero dos.
I can't possibly put them in order. Like, I have my number one. That's Double Indemnity, no question.
So don't put them in order.
I don't think I can put them in order, but I will say that if I did put them in order, it probably would be Mildred Pierce next, because I just love Mildred Pierce so much.
Oh, I do too.
And that's another one that I could just watch all the time. I just watch it all the time.
I do,
you know,
too.
I can't get enough of it. You know how there are some movies, I don't know, maybe don't do this, but sometimes there's movies you've seen so much and you just do some of the dialogue along with the movie.
I do. I can do the dialogue.
So Mildred Pierce is just one of those. And I just, it's just everything about it. I love Joan Crawford anyway.
Yes.
But I love her in this.
She was fabulous. All of them.
Just every character, every single character.
Little Evil Vida.
It's just great.
Little Evil Vida.
And Blythe was perfect
she
in the
really
role.
She really was. She was wonderful.
The actress who played Kay was adorable.
Oh, I know.
Carson was great.
He
and
was
Zachary
really
Scott.
Good.
And
what's the guy?
Everybody.
What was her husband's name?
Bruce Bennett.
Bruce Bennett. Yeah. I think the only person Vida really loved was Kay. Because she did truly love Kay, I believe.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, absolutely.
Monty Bergen, right? And she was having an affair with him all that time. You don't think I'd fall in love with a little tramp like you, do you? I love that. She was a trollop. She was her mother's husband.
Yeah, she was horrible. Just a horrible child.
Not redeeming qualities. And I...
Not one.
Yeah. I'm going to have a guest on. She just started blogging, I think, and she did the villain blogathon, and that's how I found her. Cary Grant won't eat you. And she did the villain, and she chose Stephen Dallas from Stella Dallas. It was great. It was really great. So
That's a great choice.
It is. So I asked her on again, and we're going to do women who love too much in classic movies.
Yeah, I like it.
So you could use, if somebody wants to use
That's
it
a
as a
idea.
Blogathon, I think it's really good because there's many. And we're both going to pick a few, and we're going to discuss why. Because I think that's a really, I mean, like Mildred Pierce, geez, it's not a guy she loves too much. It's this horrible beast of a daughter that she can never, you know, like when she gets that dress, it smells cheap. I'm not wearing it. But where did she get this queen attitude from? It was like.
Yeah. And you just ache for her, you know, because she loved, that was her child, you know, but she was horrid.
She was a beast. Yeah. Eve Arden was great, of course.
Yes, I gotta forget Eve Arden.
And I watched that over and over again, and I can say the lines. This one, isn't it weird? Because I would never get people could watch movies over and over again. And I have watched some movies, I swear, probably 50 times.
Yeah.
It's like,
I was just talking to a coworker the other day, and she was saying how she didn't understand how people could read books over and over and see movies over and over. And I'm like, I do that every day. I mean,
yes.
I watch the same movies all the time. You know, it's really rare that I watch a movie now that I haven't seen. And I'm trying to get out of that this year and start watching movies that I haven't seen before, because I'm just getting to this thing where I'm just watching my favorites over and over, because I could just watch them, you know, all the time.
My go-to movie for about 4 months has been, and a lot of people haven't heard about it, it's Home Before Dark. And it's with Jean Simmons, and she had a mental breakdown and whatever, and it's really good. And I keep watching it, You know how kids got so into Barney? That's what I feel like. Because my stepdaughter or my niece, they'd come, and they would be so quiet and leave us alone watching Barney over and over. I think that was some sort of hypnosis thing. But now, as an adult, I'm like, oh, my God, how many times have I seen this movie? And I feel kind of embarrassed, but not, because I'm not going to tell everybody how many times I saw that movie.
And you love it, you know?
I do.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And you know what? You find, like, as you say, you read a book. I love biographies and autobiographies of classic Hollywood, any of them. You read, as you get older, you reread it and you find something new in it. And even in movies I've seen over and over again, I pick up something new that I never noticed before.
You know, it's funny. There's a summer challenge that I do every year. Raquel, who has a blog, Out of the Past, has this summer movie, classic movie book challenge, where you can sign up and you read 6 classic movie books and you participate in her challenge. And I've been doing, I think this is either the 4th or 5th year, I've been doing it ever since she started it. And it's so great, because I used to be obsessed with buying books about old movie stars, but I was just filling up a room with them and I would never read them. You know, I very rarely would read them. I just kept buying them. But this classic movie challenge gives me the chance every summer, and I look forward to it every summer.
How are you
to reading these books? Yeah, I'm on my 3rd or 4th one now.
Which one is it you've been reading?
It's called 54 Favorites. It's by Kenneth, I think his last name is Turing. He's a he's a movie critic, but it's really, really good. And I just finished Kiss Before Dying. I just read that novel, because you can read either nonfiction or fiction. So I just finished A Kiss Before Dying, and I also read So Big, the novel So Big by Edna, I think it's Edna Ferber.
Yes.
And so it's just like every summer now, I just immerse myself in these classic movie books, and it's just so awesome.
Yeah, I love
and,
it.
And it's just so great. So.
Yes, since I started doing this podcast, I get all these great books, and I read them all before I interview the people, and they're shocked that I actually read their book. But I do, because, you know, they're coming on, it's like an hour plus, and, you know, I'm taking the time. I want to know what I'm talking about, and I want to give them a good interview. So I got some great books. I got some good books, and I'm getting gooder books too. So many books. It's fun. Okay, so Joan, we have 2.
Okay, so we got Double Indemnity. We have Mildred Pierce. I'm gonna say The Killing is totally up there.
I have never seen that. Can you believe that?
I envy you, because it's the best. It's the best. It's Sterling Hayden. And this is awesome. This awesome ensemble cast, first of all. But it's got this twisty, turny plot, you know, that plays with time. It's Stanley Kubrick. I'm not sure if it's his first movie. Kind of seems like it is, but I'm not positive about that.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not, I'm not a big, you know, Kubrick fanatic or anything, but
2001,
this movie,
yeah.
Hello, you know. But this one is just—it's just outstanding. You've got to check it out. You've got to watch it.
I will
immediately.
I will, and I'll let
you know. But it's so good. Please do, because I don't want to, you know, rave about something and you'll be like, I don't get it. That's number one on my list.
Well, everybody that I've ever spoken to about film noir, they love The Killing. I mean, it's really, really something they like a lot. Okay, another.
I'm going to say Crisscross, which to me is another absolutely perfect film noir.
Okay, I'm trying to think of it.
It's Burt Lancaster and Yvonne DiCarlo and Dan Duryea.
I love Dan Duryea. And he is so fabulous in all those
everything
movies.
Everything he did was just awesome.
Yeah, he's like a wormy creep. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he plays that role so well. Mm-hmm. But this is but it's got everything. You know, it's got the flashback, it's got the voiceover, it's got the femme fatale. You know, everything you want in a film noir, Crisscross has it, and the plot is just awesome. If you haven't seen it, you know, check it out.
I will definitely check it out because I know I saw it years ago, but I think mm-hmm. I had to go somewhere and I didn't finish it. So mm-hmm. definitely watch it. And then how many did we get? One, two,
that's four.
Three, four. And numero five.
This is so hard, but I'm going to have to say, oh, this is awful. I'm going to just say, first of all, it's a toss-up between The Postman Always Rings Twice, I love it so much, and Gun Crazy.
Oh, I love both those movies.
So awesome.
Oh, I love
them. Can I just say it's a tie?
It's a tie, definitely. Barbara Streisand and Katherine Hepburn tied for best actress. So
why not here, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Because The Postman Always Rings Twice is like kind of like Double Indemnity for me. It's one of those
ones that I saw when
I was young. And I've just adored it, you know, forever. It's just the best. I love it so much. And Gun Crazy is awesome. They're so different too. You know, The Postman Always Rings Twice is more polished and, you know, more Hollywood noir. And Gun Crazy is really gritty and you know, down and dirty, but they're just both so great. And
they really
are. Awesome roles for women, you know, in those two movies.
Yes. And also,
they're both great.
And film noir, there are really, because the femme fatale plays such a huge part of the movie, you know, like Elizabeth Scott or what's her name? That woman, Marie Windsor. She reminds me so.
You know, she's in The Killing.
Is she?
Yes. Oh, she's just so awesome in there. In fact, I think that's my favorite Marie Windsor role is in The Killing. But yeah, she was great. Audrey Totter.
I love Ida
Lupino, Claire Trevor, you know, just so many had such great roles.
Wonderful, wonderful women's roles. Okay, now five pre-codes, your fave.
I'm going to say that my favorite is probably The Divorcee. Because I've probably seen it more than any other. Because I am crazy about Norma Shearer.
She's fabulous in pre-codes.
She is. She's so great. And I really love The Divorcee. And I like her. I like her role. I like what she does in this movie. I like her lines. She has some great lines.
She really does. We have friends, and they are only thirsty. With that floozy in the kitchen, I'm like, this horrible looking woman in her makeup and everything makes her look like she's just, you know, ridden hard.
You know? Put the way wet.
Yeah, but how gross. That's awful. But he's a pig. You know, he was a pig too. And then he gets all mad. Listen, you. When she admits.
It doesn't mean a thing. Not a thing. Come on now.
Yeah,
that's right. So I love The Divorce Day.
I do too.
And of course, Babyface.
Oh my God!
It's like, you know, you have to name Babyface in your top five. Have you seen the pre-release version of that. On the DVD, they have a it's like two different versions, and the pre-release version has certain scenes that weren't in the general release.
Like the train car, right?
Right, exactly. And it's just like so scandalous because I had not seen it. I didn't see that one first. It was many years until I saw that, and I was floored, like, oh my God, look at this. I thought I loved the movie already, but now... Oh, it's really great.
It was. I sat and watched it with my mom, and she snorted and laughed through all of her slutty maneuvers. I'm like, Mom, you vixen, you. Because, and it was so funny. Literally, her getting that job with, you know, first the guy, how long will he be there? Well, maybe we can get to know each other. But she had the eyes. She gave him that eyeball look that's like, okay, mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. But she was murder, suicide, humongous, very realistic mm-hmm. to me. The ending I hated.
Yeah, it was, that's the only thing about it.
Yeah.
It's like, but, no, this is not.
That wouldn't happen.
But that's okay.
There's no reason for it. But the whole movie was amazing. John Wayne.
Yeah, and it. Yeah. Yes. It was great.
Divorcee, Babyface.
So Babyface, my next one is Redheaded Woman.
With our lovely Jean Harlow. And again, yes. Chester Morris, who was in The Divorcee.
Yes. I really like him a lot.
I do, too. He's like a bull terrier face. He just has that face. It's just so... And I thought he was wonderful. And he... and Jean, what a hoochie woman she was.
Yeah, she was... It was she was unbelievable in that movie. And one of the reasons why I love it so much is because it's one of the few where she does not pay... for her crimes, you know, she gets away, you know, ends up with Charles Boyer, you know, in the clinch.
As
at
her
the end. I just love it.
With that old
coot, I just love it.
Like with the the Monopoly beard, the banker or something. Yes. I loved it too. So, but that was the thing about pre-codes. You didn't have to pay.
Right.
Okay.
But
so
she really didn't pay.
No. She was a bad girl. Bad. I loved it. Now we're on number four. Think of a fourth one.
Let me see. I'm going to say, you know, it's funny. There's so many movies that I love. And I think that, you know, four out of five of them star Norma Shearer. So I'm trying to veer away from her. But I am going to say Private Lives. I don't care. I love that movie.
How much? And her.
So much.
Robert Montgomery. They were a great team, but yeah.
They were. But I think that the movie is just so outstanding. I think that she did a great job. It's just so funny to me. It's so witty and smart and scandalous and,
yes.
you know, hilarious, over the top. And it's just, you know, it's one of those I could watch. You know, any day if I'm feeling down, you know, I'll pop that in, you know, see the fight scene, you know, and that'll bring me right out of it, you know. It's the best.
It doesn't play on TCM very often.
No, I very rarely. I can't even remember.
The last time it was on. When they do mm-hmm. pre-codes or Norma Day. This Norma one is a Lollapalooza tour of Norma's. Strangers May Kiss. With Neil Hamilton.
God.
What a pig and what an ending. That one got me so mad. You guys, you'd love it though. It's just a really, you know, she's so dumb.
Yeah, that's another one. I think I wrote about that. I think I subtitled my post like the jackass and the dummy or something like that.
Because
she was just ridiculous. I just wanted to, just, you know, shake her. Like, are you kidding? He is not all that. You know, stop it.
Neil Hamilton, you know, I just thought he was a drip all the way. in he everything
was
the he did.
Worst.
You know, just and she's all hot for him, and he's this like Mr. Journalist going around, and her friend says, "What about marriage? We don't go in for things like that." Then in Mexico, he says, "I have to tell you, I'm married.
I'm married, I'm leaving you here.
Why didn't you tell me?" "Well, because I thought I was keeping something from a good friend." You know, you pig.
Yeah, that was awful.
And so
he was awful.
He was a pig. Then she goes on this huge tear because she thinks her reputation's ruined around Europe. And he tells her, "If you really loved me, you could never be with another man. Never even think about it."
Right.
And then Norma says,
she's just supposed to sit around waiting.
And that's what
not
she said.
Thinking he's coming back,
right.
But just wait.
And Norma says that, "You're right. I was wrong. I truly loved you. I shouldn't have been with another man." Please.
Yeah. That did it.
That bugged me. Really bugged me. What's number? Let's give a 5 in there.
I'm going to say Night Nurse.
Oh, I love that.
Because it's awesome.
Joan Blondell.
And Barbara Stanwyck. Yes. They're the greatest. Clark Gable.
What a feat.
The chauffeur.
Nick.
Nick, the chauffeur. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another one I could watch over and over.
Yes, I love that one. And it's very cute.
It's just nonstop.
And do you want to talk a little bit about the festival, or you want to do it another time?
I would love to. The TCM Film Festival.
I am so jealous. And she wrote about going to the TCM Film Festival. So tell us what it was like. Great pictures. Great pictures you took.
It's the highlight of my year. Actually, I've been going every year since 2013.
Wow.
And the year in 2012, I'm pretty sure, is the year that Peggy Cummins, who started Gun Crazy, was at the film festival. And I was on Twitter, you know, looking at pictures and reading tweets from people who were there, and I was just dying, like, you know, this is killing me. And I tweeted, "I am going to be at the TCM Film Festival next year. I don't care what happens, but I'm going to be there." And that was it. And I've been going ever since. And I just, when the passes went on sale, I just pulled out my credit card. I was like, I'm not going to look at the price. I don't care. I had a friend who is my only friend who would, you know, watch an old movie probably. I told her, "You're going with me, you know, and this is what we're doing." And, you know, we've been going ever since. And it's just, it's the best. I've just seen so many people. Like, the first year I went, I met Colleen Gray, and I've written 2 books about film noir, but the first one was about the women in film noir, and I interviewed Colleen Gray over the phone, and I talked to her several times, but of course I never met her, and so I got to meet her that first year, and I went up to her, and I introduced myself, I told her who I was, and we talked for a minute or two, and when I turned to go away, I started crying.
Wow.
It was just like, oh my God, I just met Colleen Gray. This is so bad. It was just so awesome. And just over the years, you know, all the people that I've seen or, you know, gotten their autographs or, you know, their autographed a book, you know, like Carl Reiner and Rita Moreno, and I've seen Angela Lansbury and Sally Field, even Marie Saint. And it's just like
even
all these
Marie
awesome
Saint
people.
Looks fabulous. How old is she? 94?
She looks so great. She's 90 something. She's just, you know, just amazing. Just
lovely.
Amazing.
A lovely woman.
And just, you know, all the great movies. And I think the first year I got a picture with Robert Osborne.
I love
so
him.
I treasured that.
I
that
miss
was,
him
that
so
was
much.
Awesome. Yeah, he was the greatest.
He would be my dream interview. My dream interview.
I'm telling you.
He knew everything.
But it's just wonderful. The whole thing, this whole community. And the best thing, I think, is that all these people that I've been communicating with over Twitter or Facebook, you know, all these classic movie lovers, I've gotten to meet so many of them and gotten to, you know, become friends with so many of them because of the TCM Film Festival. And it's just like a big family every year, you know, like a big reunion. And it's just, it's really such a huge part of my life that they have you know, created this venue for us, and it's just so awesome. So, you know, I've already started looking forward to next year, and I hope that you're going to be there. Just make up your mind and say, I'm going next year.
I am going to go
just,
next
you know,
year.
Just whatever, you know,
mind.
However, you know, and there's so many people from New York, too, that I've met.
Yeah,
but, you know, just come on with your New York posse, you know.
Yes, we'll have a friend
have a drink at the Roosevelt Hotel
Definitely.
Bar.
Definitely, it'll be so much fun. I want to go, and I am really
just
planning
it.
To do it. And I have a friend who I turned on to classic movies, and she needs mm-hmm. a break. And it's actually, next year is our friendiversary. So mm-hmm. when we have like milestones, I've known her since I was 15 years old. When we have milestones, mm-hmm. we go away. So that'll be mm-hmm. a great friendiversary thing to do.
That's perfect. That's
yes.
perfect. So I've been playing Grace.
I am. And I want to
yep,
go.
Do it.
It'll be fun. How about you see Ben Mankiewicz is around a lot, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I met him the first year, but I just took a quick picture with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then this year, I was at a reception, and I know several people that know him very well, you know. So I was talking to Kelly and Danny, and then Kelly said, oh, I'm going to go and talk to Ben. So I said, oh, you know, please take me and introduce me, you know. So she took me over and introduced me to him, and I was just, you know, about to swoon, and he took a couple pictures, and he's so nice. Everybody is so nice out there, you know.
And it's just because
they're just great.
It's people don't understand how huge the classic movie community is. It's huge.
Yeah.
If you go to Facebook, the TCM Facebook mm-hmm. page, they're like 400,000 people who are on that,
right.
like that page. I mean, it's huge.
And that's just one. There's so many
I love it. And they have for specific actors and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just amazing. And I love the community. I love reading things people write. I love hearing what people love. And it just, mm-hmm. it's great. And like I said, I read ya. I love you, Karen. And I am I really do. I am so thrilled you came on the show. And
I'm thrilled that you asked me.
And I would hope you would come on again, because I'd love to talk to some more about our stuff.
I would love to.
Good. Because I think it's nice. I think it's good to have like a classic film blogger on, and you can go back and forth with different, you know, little stuffs. And you're great.
I think so too.
And
oh, thank you.
So,
thank you so much.
Again, she has a wonderful blog, Shadows and Sad. It's
can I give a plug to my newsletter?
A plug up the wazoo, girl.
It's called The Dark Pages. It's a film noir newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. And if you go to my website, which is allthatnoir.com, then you can request a sample copy, a free sample copy. It comes out in both hard copy and electronic. This is our 14th year. And
congrats.
We have electronic and hard copy version. Thank you. So, yeah, you know, we would be glad to send anybody a sample copy. I have to send you some, too. But, yeah, so The Dark Pages.
And two books.
That's my jam. Yep.
Two books?
Yep, Film Noir and Bad Boys, both about film noir. One was about the women, the actresses who played the bad girls. And then the other one was about the men.
Love it. So they can find that on your webpage or at Amazon or what?
The books, yeah, they are at Amazon or any, you know, online bookseller.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
Okay, Karen, I am so thrilled to have met you, because like I said, I've been a fan forever, and you have been fabulous, and I hope you had a good time.
I had a ball, Grace.
Great.
I did. And I tell you, I'm going to see you next year in L.A.
Yes.
At the TCM Film Festival.
I mean, okay?
It's going to happen.
Yes, and we are going to hang out and have a drinky poo, and maybe you can introduce me to Danny because I love his thing.
Absolutely. I'll have to introduce you to everyone.
Because I love him.
All the gang.
I would love it. I really would. That'll be a blast. And and I want you on again. I love you, and you are welcome to come on. There's so much stuff to talk about. So
thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Good. And it has been for me. And you guys, you got to go look at her website. I'll link you up once I post it anyway, so they'll know what to do and where to go if you want to hear more Karen. And you will, because she's great.
Okay.
So thank you, Karen, and thank you to the listeners. You guys are wonderful, and I love you, and thanks for hanging in. So good night.
Good night.
Good night. You say yes, I say no.